The following podcast is a member of the Pokecasters Network. Pokecasters Network, supporting Pokemon content creators, their shows, and the community of Pokemon fans. To find out more, check out PokecastersNetwork.com or find us on Twitter and Facebook.
Hello and welcome to Not a Scratch, the only podcast that believes that Scratch is an overpowered move. I am your host, Anaru himself, and this is the Arc 4 summary episode. We at Not a Scratch understand that there are a lot of episodes to listen to in order to catch up to the show. As a result, we wanted to create summary episodes, which, unsurprisingly, summarize arcs and make it easier for listeners to catch up to the current action. Some quick notes before we go into the summary. The summaries are broad overviews of each arc, and we highly recommend checking out each individual episode to get more details, references, and a better understanding of the overall story. If you're looking for major plot points, you've got them here, but note that this isn't going to talk about every single interaction our players have. The goal is to make sure you've got a good understanding of the events of the arc, and can jump into the first episode of the next arc without any major concerns. For more information on the show and on us, check the end of the episode. This is the summary episode for Arc 4. The episodes were released from October 31st, 2021 to April 19th, 2022, with a Q&A episode released on April 26th, 2022. This arc took all of the mechanics and established concepts and decided to ignore them, like even more than previously. This is a real reset of the world, primarily because of the setting of the adventure, which we'll get into in a bit. The beginning of the arc also didn't have an ideal upload schedule, but we finally got back to normal uploads, sorta, for this arc. But instead of talking about that, why don't we talk about the show? What exactly is this creation? For those of you who may not know, this is a Pokemon Mystery Dungeon TTRPG actual play podcast. Pokemon, to summarize really quickly, is a series of role-playing games focusing on different characters traveling across a region, kind of like a country, as they try to accomplish whatever goal they have. The most popular version of the games, and the type that you're probably most familiar with, are where trainers train Pokemon as they eventually aim to be the champion of the region. These are your Pokemon Red, Blue, Yellow, Gold, Silver, and so on. The most recent games as of this recording were Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, released in November 2021. Or it could be Pokemon Legends Arceus, released in January 2022. The Pokemon franchise has created a number of spin-off games that take the normal Pokemon formula and twist it in an interesting new way. Pokemon Mystery Dungeon has you become a Pokemon and tracks your adventure as a single Pokemon. The games show off a world of Pokemon and only Pokemon who built communities and thriving towns of their own. The TTRPG system that we use in the story is actually made by yours truly, and we've been improving the system throughout the adventure, which you might notice once you start listening to the episodes. Also, one quick note about the summary episode structure. The music will change when we change episodes. I'll be putting timestamps in the description of the episode as well. Now, without further ado, let's begin Arc 4. We begin the arc immediately where we left off last time, at Sandorin the Wigglytuff's house with a Celebi at the door. This, unsurprisingly, is a somewhat serious development, and Ralph and Kyle have a private conversation with Celebi. According to Celebi, something is wrong in a particular part of the timeline, and they aren't able to head back to that point in time. As a result, it's time for our heroes to do some heroing. Despite some hesitation by Kyle, Ralph being Ralph is fully on board from the start, they eventually head to the past, bringing Manaphy along with them. Celebi sends them to the past via a special button, and they open their eyes to see the back of the gazebo in the dream world. This greatly confuses everyone, and they head to Kyle's room to do a checkup on the legendary items. However, what they see confuses them even more. Apparently, Kyle's room contains a bunch more stuff than normal, including 5 different paintings, 2 of which were painted by Snow's mother, and 8 legendary items, one more than originally scheduled. At this point, Kyle, slash Muhammad, remembers a dream that he had ages ago where this exact situation is occurring. He saw Ralph and him appear in the gazebo, run through to his room, and run back to the gazebo before pressing a button. Muhammad and Mansoor have a discussion about this and debate the idea of taking the legendary items, which goes against that dream. Kyle decides to take the legendary items after all and splits them between himself and Ralph. Despite a feeling that someone is watching them, they don't see anyone. After taking all of the legendary items, they head back to the gazebo and Manaphy presses the button. They appear in a large grass field, seemingly in the middle of nowhere. The Elemental Bell, the 8th legendary item, has disappeared, though the 7 main legendary items are still in their bag. They walk in a random direction and reach a barn on fire, with Pokemon running away. Only one Pokemon is fighting the fire, so Ralph, Kyle, and Manaphy come to assist them. That one Pokemon? Keldeo. As they process this information, the Swords of Justice, Terrakion, Virizion, and Cobalion, appear to help save the day. The Swords of Justice are here, much to the surprise of Kyle and Ralph. After a bit of conversation between the Swords of Justice and Keldeo, Ralph and Kyle notice that while Keldeo is able to see them, the Swords of Justice are not. It seems that our heroes are practically invisible to all but Keldeo. The Swords of Justice talk about trying out for the first guild tryouts, which Keldeo politely and temporarily refuses. The Swords of Justice leave while our heroes try to get some understanding of where, more like when, they are. Kyle, rather than slapping sense into Keldeo, speaks sense into Keldeo, and they decide to head into town to attempt the first guild tryout. Our heroes enter the capital of the Empire, Unova Town, and notice that the population of the town has some sort of fog of concern. They're also clearly in the past, though how far back is unknown. Eventually, they reach the center of the town and find a large castle with a moat of water around it, and a bell in the front. Our heroes also notice that they aren't only invisible, but also barely a solid, as it is a struggle to even hold on to items in this world. Ralph also recognizes the castle from somewhere and remembers a Miss Magius that he met, who showed him this very castle. Keldeo walks into the main room, and the Swords of Justice begin the examination. The first test, a mind test. Keldeo must first answer a test question that reminds Ralph and Kyle a lot of their own exam. Keldeo is successful, and Kyle also notices a sort of aura around Keldeo during the test. The second test, a travel test. Keldeo has to travel through a mysterious path, head to the center, and return with the item in the center. Keldeo is successful in this as well, and things have been relatively calm so far. The third test, a battle test. Keldeo must fight all three members of the Swords of Justice to prove their worth. In this time, initiative and the logic behind the system doesn't exist. Funnily enough, the system that we use in this time, which is sort of faster Pokemon attack more often, was actually loosely created before Legends of Arceus created their version of it, which I find absolutely hilarious. I will admit though, the rules here are very lax compared to the Legend system, and we don't do different styles of attacks. Regardless, this battle between the Swords of Justice and Keldeo begins with a bang. All three members of the Swords of Justice charge into Keldeo at the same time, showing that these battles are much different compared to the modern rules that Kyle and Ralph have. Keldeo's aura starts to spurt out, and its horn starts to grow a bit as this battle continues. Despite the three-on-one fighting continuing, Keldeo is able to survive this for the most part. A beam of light shot towards Keldeo by Virizion eventually takes Keldeo down. Despite the loss, the Swords of Justice are very impressed, and ask Keldeo to wait until tomorrow for a final decision. Our heroes head back to Keldeo's home after a quick look around town. It turns out that many folks in this town speak an ancient language, known in the modern day as Oldish, which is a language that Ralph, through studyings and guild projects, as well as a Nat 20, has learned himself. After sleeping, both Kyle and Ralph wake up in the middle of the night to see that Keldeo isn't in the house. Kyle stays back to watch over Manaphy while Ralph looks for Keldeo, eventually finding them practicing some moves in a distant field. Ralph tries to boost Keldeo's spirits, though unsure if he was actually successful. The next morning, Keldeo and squad head into town to find that the people's moods aren't getting any better. Heading into the castle, the Swords of Justice officially offer Keldeo a job as the 4th member of the Swords of Justice. Over the next few days, our heroes watch and see how the Swords of Justice operate in the town, learning more about the specific style that each Pokemon attempts to solve any problems. The town's mood over the course of these days has been getting worse and worse, despite the problem solving. A few days later, as our heroes are back home, Manaphy pulls out the button that transported them into this world, as it flashes with light. Our heroes press the button and flash to a different point in time, seemingly a different, worse-off world, only to realize that they've gone just a few years in the future at the same area. They reach the Swords of Justice castle, and an older Keldeo lets them in, stating that they have a lot to discuss. Keldeo informs them that things have not been good in the roughly decade since they disappeared, and some sort of darkness has taken things downhill. Mere references of this cause the mood and attitude to darken. What the Swords of Justice thought of as a bunch of bad activity seems to have a specific source. Kyle uses the Book of Myths to try and find a source for this, and a couple of guesses pop up, leading it to potentially being Darkrai causing the presence, though Keldeo doesn't recognize the name. Asking the Swords of Justice about Darkrai doesn't get much of a response, but Cobalion seems to be talking to someone off-screen. As they try to find out who that is, Ralph smells a fire breaking out, and they rush to handle the situation. It looks like the fire was caused by a Pokemon, as opposed to naturally forming. It was ultimately handled by Manaphy and Keldeo through the power of bubbles. Kyle decides to stick around to get more of an understanding of what Cobalion is doing, and pops into the dream world, directly to the pavilion. Kyle decides to walk into a forest in the background and sees a meeting of all the legendary and mythicals in process, though isn't able to get much information, except that Keldeo is being put up to vote for legendary slash mythical status. To become a legendary or mythical Pokemon, Keldeo will have to complete some tasks, and has 30 days to complete them. Victini is going to be keeping track of the tasks that Keldeo completes, and implies that Kyle and Ralph helping isn't an issue. Keldeo starts off by smelling the fire, determining that the fire is from a Ninetales, and starts heading towards the smell after some shopping for supplies. While traveling towards the smell, dream time for both folks. Kyle wakes up in a black void and can't see anything. After some time, Kyle notices a white dot in the sky, and after lying down doing nothing, sees the dot get larger and larger until it envelops him. Ralph wakes up in a forest and walks forward to hear a voice stating that they shouldn't be there. Ralph sees a clearing, picks up a paper, and is scared by the forest and bright blue eyes to leave. When they both wake up, they see that Kyle looks pale and Ralph is almost older, but washes their faces and are back to normal. A bit more travel and Ninetales is found. Battle time leads to a success for the heroes, with Manaphy joining in as well. One task is complete. Next day, time to travel through yet another forest. Very quickly, Ralph and Kyle lose Keldeo in the forest and have to go find them. A bit of investigation leads to a dark feather being found, though they don't know the owner of said feather. Ralph and Kyle eventually stumble across a bird gang of some sort and find that Keldeo has been kidnapped by said gang. The owner of the dark feather? A Honchkrow, who seems to be a commander for the team. It's now Operation Get Keldeo Away from Team Feather, and the plan is straightforward. Kyle, being invisible, tries to get closer to Keldeo and get their attention. Ralph's playing watch guard, keeping track of both Manaphy and the other birds. Kyle tries to distract the birds, but it completely backfires, and the birds all know that Kyle both exists and is a foe. A desperate Ralph tries to play the Sky Melodica to bring some birds on their side, but he plays terribly, and now both of them are getting chased away. Ralph escapes into the forest, while Kyle hides from the commotion after causing a larger distraction. Ralph is almost caught when Keldeo finally finds his super-powered mode, blows up the cage, and faces the boss, a Skarmory, who's absolutely been through some things. Ralph tries one more attempt to use the Sky Melodica before he is captured, and is semi-successful. He's been captured, with Manaphy stuck in the forest, but he's taken away from the camp. Kyle tries to find a way to get close to Skarmory and is able to sneak near to hear Skarmory and Keldeo's conversation, but gets slapped by Skarmory's steel wing before hearing anything. This is the perfect distraction for Keldeo to steal Skarmory's feather, which he is able to do so. Kyle, after getting blasted back, hides inside of a house to avoid the new swarm of birds, eventually escaping before anyone can notice. Ralph, being captured, reaches a cave where the birds seem to be preventing him from leaving. After some Ralphy shenanigans, he decides to go deeper into the cave. Ralph eventually reaches a fork in the road, the path to the left, to the right, and another path? After a bit of exploration, he finds a secret path in the walls and moves forward from there. Ralph enters into a large room full of crystals, a large chest, and it opens to a lake. Ralph opens the chest to find nothing and moves to the lake. He tries to swim in the lake but isn't successful. Ralph then decides to use the fiery drum, which makes a parting in the water that Ralph is able to walk through. When he reaches the center of the cave, he finds the Aquamonica, which is supposed to be in Kyle's bag. He takes it and walks back, noticing that the empty chest is gone. Ralph decides to continue forward instead, reaching another fork in the road with the empty chest in the center. After a bit of exploration, the chest starts speaking to Ralph, asking to return the Aquamonica. It turns out that the chest is actually a Ditto, who's a recruit of the Lost from this time. They're actually the quote-unquote first recruit, who is the Pokemon that is directly told by a legendary that the recruits of the Lost exist, similar to Adam in our time. Ditto shows the way out, and Ralph jumps out of the cave. Ralph pops out near Manaphy, who is currently making war plans to save their father. Kyle's been hiding out near Keldeo and Skarmory, who've been having a fun conversation, note fun means not fun. With all seeming to be good at this point, Keldeo books it, and runs with the heroes away from the forest towards the path they could have gone down a couple of episodes ago. Keldeo informs Kyle and Ralph about the real reason they were kidnapped. Someone else wants to become a legendary, and has set everything up to force the legendary trial. By accomplishing the tasks before Keldeo, they'd be able to become a legend, which our heroes obviously don't want to happen. Heroes continue to travel with another dream sequence for both characters. Ralph wakes up in the forest, as he did previously, walks away from the forest, and sees a gazebo, which he thinks is the pavilion of the past. Ralph, on a whim, calls out for Ditto, and Ditto appears. Ralph takes the time to explain his situation and walks into the forest with Ditto. It's here that we explore the difference between a dream and the dream world. In a dream, the dreamer has complete control. In the dream world, it's still you, so you can't do anything that you would be able to do in the real world. Ralph, testing this theory out, tries to fly, a thing that Machops can't do, but he's able to. The Ditto changes form into a Zoroark, and basically puts the fear of Arceus into Ralph to wake him up. Kyle wakes up in a black void, same as last time. Kyle looks up and sees 21 dots instead of one dot. They turn into beams of light, envelop him, and he wakes up. Another day of travel, another dream sequence for Ralph. This time, he's able to sleep himself into the dream world and meets up with Ditto for real. They have a bunch of lore discussion, and Ralph learns how to make an oldish portal to the dream world for an auto-instant success. Another day of travels, we're now at day 6, and we reach Kalos City. In later episodes, I call it Sinnoh City, but that's incorrect, where a tournament is being held. The winner gets to face the mayor, a blue Emboar, which is the next task on our list. It's the tournament arc, we're a real anime now. Keldeo signs up for the tournament with Kyle sneaking with him. Ralph, thinking that they weren't allowed to assist in the accomplishment of tasks, sticks to the crowd with Manaphy. A tournament bracket whittles down 64 candidates to a top 8, all in a free-for-all. Winner gets the Emboar. Also, Kyle's on Keldeo, assisting in the fight. What proceeds is roughly 40 minutes of pure battle chaos, eventually ending in a victory for Keldeo, though not without some scares. Emboar vs. Keldeo, the fight that we've all been waiting for. The fight is a long one, a grueling one, a complicated one, that somehow eventually ends up in a victory for the legend to be themselves, Keldeo. Basically by themselves, wins the fight. This is another long and wonderful fight that a recap wouldn't be able to do justice, but it's episode 10 for those of you searching for it. In my script, there's a winking smiling face, and I thought it was important to note, especially because of how the battle ended. Keldeo gets a bunch of stuff as a reward, as well as the whole accomplished task thing, as our heroes check off another box. They continue forward on their adventures with more dreams. Kyle gets a dream with 35 dots, Ralph gets a forest dream and starts flying, noticing that things are a real dream. He heads deeper into the forest, trying to get to the legendary meeting, but isn't able to. He eventually lies down on the ground, noticing 35 black dots in the sky. They do the same thing as Kyle's white dots and envelop Ralph. This time, however, Ralph wakes up at the base of a mountain. He walks up the mountain path, heading to a door. The large door asks for a password, which Ralph is unable to correctly guess. From there, he wakes up for real. They enter a desert, and Kyle has another dream with 45 dots. Ralph gets another forest dream, this one being a dream world dream, so the safe one, and heads to the gazebo where he finds Ditto with another recruit, a wish cache. The wish cache, whose name is lost to time, so everyone just calls him the Elder, talks about the mountain and how it's a base for the evil team that the recruits are fighting. So it sounds like Ralph has visited them. The episode ends with a loud roar. Looks like the next task. The roar looks like it's coming from a Tauros of the enraged variety. Battle time, Tauros versus Keldeo, Ralph, and Kyle, and ends with a victory for heroes of the story. It's basically a Keldeo carry, though. Another task completed on the checklist. Another dream sequence for the both. Kyle's got 53 white dots, and Ralph has the mountain dream again. We reach Johto City, which is ancient for ancient times, and everyone speaking Oldish. The vibes of the city are much brighter than other cities as well. Keldeo and Kyle go shopping, while Ralph goes to the library. Ralph's looking for an old, old book, and finds it, trying to find information about the mountain he's been seeing repeatedly. From the book, he's able to get that the password is the boss's true form, but not much more than that. Ralph also finds a creepy bottle in the corner of the room, full of magic energy. When picking up the bottle, Ralph hears a shy voice asking for help. The voice comes from the bottle to some creature that's stuck in the bottle, asking for Ralph's help to get out. Ralph tries to shake the bottle to get them out, but on a nat 1 breaks the bottle. Meanwhile, Kyle is continuing his exploration with Keldeo. Keldeo's got a couple of leads that they could follow and talk about how the town seems really normal considering the world danger. They decide to find Ralph. Turns out, breaking the bottle didn't work, as a new version of the bottle has appeared to take the place of the shattered version, with the creature still inside. They try various other methods, breaking the bottle again as well in the process. The librarian, hearing these sounds, notices and recognizes Ralph, as it's the elder, the Wishcash met earlier, and they decide to have a conversation. Wishcash believes that the bottle is the embodiment of evil and everything bad stems from the bottle, as well as the creature inside. Ralph decides to take a risk and asks the bottle what the password would be, but the bottle doesn't know the password. Ralph goes bad cop on the bottle at this point, or maybe Batman, and continuously breaks the bottle again and again. About 1,000 glass smashes later, Kyle and Keldeo reach the library and meet up with Wishcash. Kyle is very surprised that Wishcash notices him. At this point, Ralph and Kyle start to share information, because they haven't for a while. Wishcash sets up a nighttime dream world meeting with the two of them to further explain what's going on, and they go to bed, leaving the bottle in the library. Alright, this is where things get weirder, so warnings in advance if none of this makes sense. Kyle heads to the dream world, and is in his version, with the hallways and all. When entering to Ralph's room, he sees that Ralph is asleep in his bed in the dream world. Kyle nudges Ralph, and when he does, he gets sucked into the vision or dream that Ralph is having, waking up in front of a forest. He walks away from the forest, and when he's out of sight, Ralph pops in. Ralph does the dream test and can confirm that this is a dream, so not what he wants, and decides to jump to the mountain. He lies down, and the black dots appear again, 59 dots, but this time Kyle can see them as well. Both of them are sent to the mountain, though neither can see each other. Ralph and Kyle both walk up the mountain path to reach the top, but neither are able to get anywhere. As they are sent out due to getting the password wrong, Ralph wakes up from his dream while Kyle slams back into Ralph's dream world room. Ralph is no longer in the Ralph room. They try again a little later in the night. Kyle has his normal void dream with 59 white dots, and goes through that sequence to pop into the gazebo with Ralph following moments later. Thus ends the really trippy part of the episode. Ralph and Kyle meet up with Wishcash to lay all the cards on the table, recapping everything since the bird fiasco. Wishcash has been going through some stuff, so this isn't too surprising to him. It's clear that someone else is trying to become a legendary Pokemon. The real questions: who's trying to be a legend, and who is guiding them like Victini is guiding Keldeo? Kyle asks about Darkrai, who is the Loki or Set of this universe. Sometimes they're on the side of good, and sometimes they are on the side of evil. It's whatever is best for them. If Darkrai is the Victini, as they begin to think, then who is the Keldeo? A new day, a new opportunity for travel. Before they leave, they each get a gift from the Elder, giving Ralph a copy of the bottle that showed up out of nowhere, and Kyle a magical deck of cards, which is very cool and won't be touched on for the rest of the season. You'll have to wait until the Arc 5 summary episode for that. In the evening, they reach New Kanto City with no real darkness feeling, and literally buy a tight belt for 2 gold bars, which is the best meme of the Arc and top 5 of the show's history. They go to bed, and Kyle pops himself to the dream world. Alright, here's another deep dive of lore explaining how one could enter your door or other doors. So, if the room is yours, you can enter and exit at your will. If the room is open, you have been given permission by the owner to enter, and they are in the room. If the room is closed and unlocked, you have been given permission by the owner to enter, and they are not in the room. And if the room is locked, you have not been given permission by the owner to enter. Also, if someone is asleep in the real world and are dreaming, they can be physically seen in their bed, and you can access their dreams by touching them. Anyway, Ralph has an eventless and calm sleep, while Kyle has a 64-dot dream. They wake the next day and begin their travel with no action, so another dream sequence. Kyle pops into the dream world, sees Ralph asleep, and joins Ralph in his dream, which is confirmed to be a dream. There are 66 black dots in the sky, and they bounce over to the mountain. Password door time again, unsuccessful, and nothing gained today. It's now day 12, by the way, as they enter into another different forest. Going to the forest, they run into some birds who are chasing a sawsbuck. The birds are very unsuccessful at catching the sawsbuck, and Kyle tries to take advantage of this to get a leaf, but isn't able to. Keldeo tries the old talk no jutsu method, which both works to bring the sawsbuck to their side and to beat the birds in the process. Nat 20 gonna do what Nat 20 gonna do. They head back to Sawsbuck's place to get the leaves, and Ralph notices that some feeling of fear is creeping up on them. He's not able to find anything, though, and they quickly leave after getting all the leaves needed. Roll That Die Travel Edition, another night of dreams. Kyle sees 72 dots this time, as he follows the normal routine of go to Dreamworld, see if Ralph is there, follow Ralph, wait until he wakes up, does the Kyle dream, it's the next day. This is slightly different as Ralph decides out of frustration to break the password door. He succeeds. Chaos now ensues. Ralph enters into a cavern with Kyle following behind in secret. They enter into a cavern with a table, chairs, and a throne chair with jewels and other valuables all around. There looks to be a Pokemon here, a bent-nosed Skarmory, and they get into a battle. No holds barred, we're going all out. Skarmory is using all the broken Mystery Dungeon tactics, boosting speed, fury attack, all of that. Ralph gets hit with a wing attack and is sent flying out of the room with zero HP and falling off the mountain at the darkest moment. We're even bringing death saving throws. It's a big deal. Kyle even tries to run, but isn't able to. Through the luck of all luck, Ralph rolls a nat 20 on a death saving throw, keeping him alive and bouncing both him and Kyle out of the mountain. They wake up the next morning, both in various states of confusion and panic. Their travels go to Alolaville, another city, and this one has that dark energy feel to it. Ralph puts two and two together, realizing that the dark energy feeling is the same energy found in the mountain that he keeps visiting. Ralph realizes that the mountain is the bad guy's dream world, and just like how he could barge into theirs, they could barge into his dream world. One final thing comes to mind. We've been thinking that the mole is someone in the recruits, but what if the mole is one of the legendary Pokemon? Later on, Ralph is noticing that the same blurry feeling from his dream is appearing here as well, though he's unable to determine why. They found out about a special place where the golden apples are, but need to meet a cartographer, a Spinda, and they trade tasks. The Spinda will give the map in exchange for assistance in getting an odd incense, and Keldeo adds it to the list of tasks to do. Continued travel and continued updates with dreams as well. Dot update 78. We enter into a desert as Kyle's prior knowledge of the odd incense seems to be helpful in searching it out. It looks like it's actually close, and they travel into a dungeon in the desert. Manaphy turns into a light bulb via tail glow, and they travel to the deepest part of the cave. The cave is full of all sorts of treasures, including an odd incense, as they enter full steam ahead. There seems to be a creature in the back, an angry creature. A three-headed creature. A Hydreigon. Time to fight. It's a full-out war between the Hydreigon and our heroes, including Manaphy. The Hydreigon is significantly more powerful compared to our heroes, so it's a real quality versus quantity matchup. Manaphy isn't able to contribute much, with a bubble, then a knockout, though they get healed before death-saving throws come into play. Frankly speaking, it's a grind to bring this Hydreigon down, but they are eventually able to do so. In this case, quantity wins. They grab the odd incense and head back to Alolaville. They travel to Alolaville with a dream sequence in the process. A couple of dot dreams and password guesses later, and they finally reach the city. Day 14, 85 dots. Day 15, 91 dots. They trade the odd incense for a map to the Golden Apple, and immediately travel towards that forest. It's a long distance, so more dot dreams and password guessings throughout this time as well. The travel will take them from day 16 to day 21, so it's really long. Day 16, 99 dots. Day 17, 102 dots. Day 18, 104 dots. Day 19, 108 dots. On day 19, the dots do not fall for both characters. Instead, a spiral is formed through these dots connecting, effectively shooting out energy balls at the ground instead of beams of light. Both heroes view this, then wake up. On day 20's night, Ralph is unable to fall asleep, but Kyle is able to sleep and goes through his normal process. Instead of waking up in a black void, however, he wakes up in a green, fiery room. The floor of the room is a dark spiral extending out to the edge of the room. Laughter surrounds him as well from various voices. Kyle walks to the center of the spiral, hears someone exclaim that they have been reborn, and then wakes up. Kyle sneaks over to Ralph's bag to look at the bottle, but it doesn't look like anything has changed about that bottle, and he keeps that in mind going forward. They reach the mountain and begin to climb up, reaching a serene forest at the top. The forest gives off this wave of relief that sucks them in. There's actually a magical energy trying to keep them into the forest permanently. The goal? Get to the center without falling prey to laziness and serenity. All four characters are successful and reach the center to find a golden apple tree, with a milk tank sleeping at the base. Two tasks in one. They exit the forest and proceed to head back to Alolaville. They go until day 24 to travel back to Alolaville, with no dreams for either hero. One last task to do. Defeat the three dogs. These dogs are actually similar to our heroes Rockin' Rampage, or Team Rocket in the anime. Now, we've got to lure the dogs in. Keldeo's plan is to start an autograph signing to bring attention to the area and force the dogs to show up, and it's unsuccessful on the first day. They stay in town, hoping that the dogs will show up tomorrow and rest. While Kyle has a visionless night, Ralph has a weird dream. Ralph wakes up in the evil team's room, viewing the room from the character in the throne chair, as Zoroark enters in. Ralph, in quotations, and Zoroark have a quick conversation about how the past is changing according to plan, and all they had to do was wait. Then the vision changes, and Ralph is now an outside viewer, with Darkrai entering the room. Darkrai enters with a small stone that, when placed on the stone and after an oldest chant, turns into Spiritomb. Spiritomb is the Pokemon that wants to become a legendary, and has been leading the Bird Squad and Darkrai into stopping our heroes during this whole arc. They're behind now, but quickly catching up. The next day, day 25, the dogs show up. Despite the dogs getting stronger, Keldeo is able to defeat them very quickly through the power of invisible assistance with various other move types. With that, all the tasks have been completed. There's only a few days left though, and the heroes have to rush back to the Swords of Justice base before the time limit runs out. It's the finale! Now time to run across the country, so they run. The expected arrival date would be on day 29, with 26 hours on the clock. They're literally Naruto running through every city that they previously visited until they finally reach the bird forest from earlier in the arc. Yep, stuff happens here. As they're running, birds appear and they run faster. Then Skarmory shows up and they keep running. Then Honchkrow shows up and they keep running. The Skarmory throws something in front of them, which seems to summon a wall that our heroes bounce off of. That thing? It looks like a rock, but it's much more than an ordinary rock. Spiritomb appears, and is fully able to see Ralph and Kyle, so that's not great. They offer a deal. Give all the items, and you can stay alive for slightly longer. Keldeo, brilliant mind that they are, says no deal. Fight begins. The fight is effectively Ralph, Kyle, and Keldeo versus Skarmory, Honchkrow, and Spiritomb. It's a hard fight, especially with the type of disadvantages that Ralph and Kyle are dealing with throughout this fight. Kyle and Keldeo are using their moves to jump the order and take advantage of their speed moves, while Ralph is swinging his fists and feet against whoever can be hit. Through Ralph, Honchkrow goes down. A rage mode attack and additional damage takes out the Skarmory. Now all that's left is the Spiritomb. A combined effort from Ralph, Kyle, and Keldeo adds damage to Spiritomb, and they try to spook the heroes by imitating various voices. Kyle is able to get the finishing blow on Spiritomb, and down they go. As they defeat Spiritomb, the keystone breaks into tiny pieces, all zooming towards the castle. The birds seem to have whatever control was placed on them lifted, as they look confused and return back to the forest. Now, the heroes have to run to catch up to Spiritomb, that seems to be rushing towards home base. With 8 hours remaining on the clock, they rush into Unova City and enter into the castle, where Spiritomb has created green electric energy which has trapped the other Swords of Justice and an annoyed Victini, it seems like Spiritomb has tried this before, to prevent the task from being officially completed. Spiritomb talks about their benefactor, and how Ralph and Kyle have their own benefactors that allow them to see the legendary world. By talking about this, Spiritomb is also opening the eyes of the other Swords of Justice, who are starting to see shapes where Ralph and Kyle are standing. Spiritomb decides to call on their benefactor, Darkrai, and asks them to destroy the heroes. Ralph, trying anything, takes the bottle he's been holding onto for all this time and tries to suck in the dark power that Darkrai is creating as an attack. Somehow it's successful as the bottle sucks in the dark energy and vanishes. At that exact moment, Kyle summons Celebi, who appears, grabs both Ralph and Kyle, and disappears in a flash. Celebi pops them into the dream world, each of them in their respective rooms. Kyle's room contains all 8 legendary items, yes, this includes the elemental bell, and both bags are missing the items. Manaphy is not in the room, or in the bag as well. Kyle looks out of his room and notices that he has access to all of the other rooms, even the ones that are currently unknown. Ralph's room is locked right now, as Ralph is having a conversation, we'll touch on that in a moment, and Kyle sees static in the rooms that he doesn't know anything about, but is able to at least look inside. When Kyle heads to the Mew room, he walks to the gazebo to see Adam preparing for something. Adam tells Kyle to look for Celebi, that there are a couple of days before the end of the world, and that they are preparing for the big battle. However, he refuses to say anything else, telling Kyle that Celebi has a special mission for him and Ralph. Meanwhile, Ralph is in his room, which is much more decorative than in the past, Celebi wanting to speak with him. From here, I think it's best if we just take the episode from here. So without further ado, here is us, from Arc 4, Episode 19, the finale.
Where are you going next, Kyle?
Ralph's room.
Great.
I need to find Ralph.
We'll jump over to Ralph. Ralph, you open your eyes as you poof when Kyle hit the button, and you pop into your room. Your room looks a bit more decorative. Okay. It seems like more stuff has gone on. More things have happened. You see, more letters from Snow or something like that. And like a few memories of like, oh, these are, dates we went on or like that one trip that we did. You're looking at this, have no clue what this is, but presumably something that's happened. And Celebi is there with you.
Hey, do you care to explain what the heck just happened?
Celebi goes to your door and locks it.
Okay, what's up?
Okay, so listen, I know I'm not the guardian, so to speak, for you, I'm for Kyle, but we need to have a conversation.
What's going on? Did I do something wrong?
No. You're fine. It's just there's a predicament going on. So I popped you out of the timeline, but I need to pop you back in that same spot. In other words, you're going to be facing Darkrai all over again.
Okay.
There's only one thing that can really stop Darkrai.
What is that?
That would be by talking to Arceus.
What?
We have the elemental bell. We're going to talk to Arceus, and then... What's Sully's voice? Like here? Something like that? We're going to talk to Arceus, and then Arceus basically give you the power to stop Darkrai, if that makes any sense.
I'm gobsmacked.
There's a reason... I can't tell you why, but there's a reason it has to be you that does this, and not Kyle. All I'll say is that Kyle... So everybody gets one wish from Arceus, and Kyle uses his later, and that's also important. But your wish, you never really used a wish, so we're going to use it now, if that makes any sense.
Okay. What does this mean for me?
You'll be a hero, I guess. We'll have to talk to Arceus about if...
The details?
Yeah, the details, exactly. Like, how exactly this wish works. But, I'm asking you this only for two reasons. One, it kind of has to be you. I mean, it could be Manaphy, but Manaphy has its own, being a legendary, not able to get a wish from Arceus due to mythical-related reasons. And two, because I felt like you would jump on this more than Kyle would.
I see. I sit down on the bed for a second, kind of think about what's... kind of just take it in that I'm about to meet Arceus. And then I just sort of close my eyes for a second, think about what's everything that's led up to this point. I'm like, I get up and I say, okay, let's do it. Take me there.
Roll perception.
I'm dead. Nat 20?
What?
I'm not dead, apparently.
No, you could just see that you're dead.
Okay, Kyle, not Kyle, Ralph, in a moment of clarity, I'm gonna force you to make a decision here, but it's gonna illuminate some stuff.
Yep.
You look past Celebi and see Kyle standing there looking very confused, almost as if trying to like see Celebi clearly.
I see. Can Kyle see me?
Kyle sees you and like doesn't really take you into consideration, just looking at Celebi. Okay. I'm going to force you to ignore Kyle in this situation.
Okay.
Like don't tell him that you notice him, basically.
Okay, gotcha.
And another thing about Kyle, this is not a solid Kyle. This is like a mirage of Kyle.
I see.
Okay. I was gonna say, I don't think I got into the room.
Yeah, you didn't
like,
get
the door is locked.
I see, okay.
And after a few moments, while you're having this conversation, Kyle looks at this, kind of shrugs, and walks out. Walks out, like, slides, like, through the walls and stuff.
Gotcha.
So that happens. I don't know the exact wording, but you kind of just said, yeah, I got this. Right? Okay. Just confirming?
Yep.
Okay.
Let's go talk to the man.
Okay. I'll explain it to Kyle, because he's going to... I don't want to spoil the timeline, but he's about to walk in the door in about 30 seconds, so... don't look too surprised, I guess.
Okay.
And sure enough, a few seconds later, Kyle, you are now at the door. You try to open the door. The door is openable now. Celebi has unlocked the door. Kyle, you walk inside.
Yeah. Okay, I walk in. What's the scene here that I'm walking in?
Celebi's just told Ralph, like, hey, your grandmother is dead. And also, my dog is dead. I don't know which one's worse. Like, I think it's slowly building in on Ralph, like, oh. Things are happening.
Yeah,
exactly. You understand parts of this as well, knowing the time. Ralph just knows the situation.
Well, all I know is Ralph is about to go. Well, we have what I've been told is Celebi told Adam that we're going with Celebi to do something.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know what this something is.
Correct.
So I just kind of look over to Celebi and like. And looking, like, I give it a look, just like, tell me what's happening here.
Celebi looks to Ralph, like, almost like, Ralph, are you saying it or am I?
I'll say it. I, like, get off the bed, clear my throat, look at my friend, and say, Kyle, it looks like I'm gonna have to save the world. I don't know how, I don't know what the details are gonna be, but I look at Celebi for a second, I'm like, I think... I'm going to make a wish from Arceus.
Well, technically, both of you are going, but yeah, you're making the wish, yeah.
Yeah, and I'm going to stop Darkrai.
Kyle, like, takes a second, nods, and then very quickly just, like, holds a finger up just, like, 1 second, dips out of the room.
Okay, you dip out of the room.
Go to the other room and pick up the bell, the elemental bell.
Okay, you pick up the bell.
Yeah, bring it back.
Cool. Okay, so now you have the bell?
Yeah.
You see as you pick up the bell and walk away, another bell has formed in that place.
Huh. Hmm. Okay, I am doing some weird stuff with the time-space continuum here, but sure, we'll roll with it. I'm going to take this bell and bring it back over and hand it to and hold it up for Ralph.
Ralph, you know this. This is the elemental bell. This is kind of like the Arceus summoning mechanic.
Okay. I take the elemental bell.
Put it in your bag. Your bag has a bunch of regular items, no legendary items. You don't need to delete them now, just mental note. And Celebi looks at both of you like, ready to go?
I'm ready, as I'll ever be.
And then you guys walk out. As you guys walk out of Ralph's room, Kyle, I assume, doing like a quick making sure my door is closed sort of thing.
Yeah. Kyle's like, you know, Kyle's aware of dream world mechanics, so it's, you know, being cautious.
Yep. Ralph, you do the same thing. Close your door, make sure nobody can get in, da-da-da-da. And then as you walk out, as you pass each set of doors, those doors open and new characters enter the fray as you move to the next row and the next row and the next row until finally all of you, all 12 of you, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, yep, all 12 of you enter into the Mew Room, where Adam makes it 13.
Okay.
All of you guys head over to the pavilion, the gazebo, the whatever we're calling it. Both of you make a perception check. Ralph, make it with advantage.
Okay, with advantage. Watch me still fail this.
I got a 2.
11 and a 14, so...
This will make it clear for real life, you two, probably, if it's not already clear. But, Ralph, out of the corner of your eye, you see the mirage of Kyle kind of peeking into the pavilion as if to like figure out what exactly is going on.
Okay.
Adam starts giving a speech about how everything is leading up to this moment. It's now. It's time. We've all fought very hard, worked together. We found each other and the items. And now, if I'm not mistaken, we're about to embark on a journey. Now, I must ask you one last time and give a nod or a no, I guess. Are you sure that each of you wants to do this? And you see everybody else nod. Do you guys nod?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay. The one by one, Adam pops everybody out and looks to you two and looks to Celebi as well. Celebi is like, ready to go?
I'm ready.
Do you two, Kyle?
I mean, Kyle is just nodding and just like... Kyle's almost like a little spaced because Kyle's trying to figure out, trying to piece together what's happening. Kyle knows when we are. Kyle knows where we are, at least not physically, but like dream world.
Right.
So now Kyle's just trying to figure out, all right, what are we doing? But like it's very absently like nodding along, just like, yeah, yeah.
Celebi reaches out to both of you, flashes, and then you guys appear on a glass floor.
Ooh.
Don't walk too far to the left or to the right, because then you will fall off and never return. But you are on a glass floor about like 10 feet wide, give or take, a couple inches thick, and Celebi starts floating off towards some light in the distance.
I follow Celebi.
I follow those two.
And you just walk for what feels like hours, but is in reality minutes, before Celebi finally reaches a large white door. You see on this door a keyhole, but the keyhole very clearly looks like a bell.
Time to put the bell in there.
Ralph, you put the bell in?
Yeah.
Ralph puts the bell in, and the door is unlocked, opens. Celebi kind of motions you guys inside.
We go inside?
Celebi's staying outside the door.
Go in with Ralph?
You can. Celebi's allowing you to.
I kind of just look to Celebi as just like just looking like, should I go in?
Celebi like nods, like, yeah, you're fine.
Okay, all right. And kind of follows.
And you walk inside. As you walk inside, you see what feels like stairs that turn into clouds. It's carpeted, but then at a certain point, that carpet sort of changes into what effectively is just puffs of clouds that you're somehow able to walk on.
Okay.
You continue walking until eventually reaching what looks like a throne room. And Ralph, to you, this throne room looks very familiar, because this throne room looks exactly like the makeshift one that the evil team uses, with a table with far more chairs than there were in that room, with a throne at the top that's far more extravagant, but looks like almost it's never been used, as if it's sort of a symbol as opposed to an actual throne to sit on.
Do I not recognize it? Or
You probably recognize it, but I know Ralph would, just because he's been dreaming about this forever. And standing, looking out in the distance, is none other than the king himself, Arceus.
Chills.
Bro, how did we get here?
I walk over to Arceus. And
Arceus turns around and sees you and is just like, hello.
I believe you're here for something.
I am. My liege, your monship? What's your title?
It's fine. Just call me Arceus.
Okay.
Or Arcus, or... Arcus.
Oh god, Arcus. Arcus, no! Yeah, there's a copyright claim right there.
Arnold. I've gotten Arnold before, you know.
Arnold. I'm here to make a wish.
Of course. Very well, you've entered in. Very well. What exactly is your wish, per se?
I think Celebi told me that I need to wish for the ability to defeat Darkrai.
Kyle's eyes just like go insanely wide at this point because he hasn't heard what is happening. Kyle just has a look, just like, what?
That would be true. Yes, it is. I'll tell you both this now. It is a dangerous thing, legendary power. Many seek it, but frankly, it's too much. At a certain point, too much power becomes more of a hindrance than a help. For example, with legendaries, only another legend can truly defeat a legendary Pokemon. I know that both of you have experience with battling legends, but it's different between battling them and winning versus battling them and defeating them. Truly defeating them. But very well, I can make you this wish. However, it comes at, no pun intended, a legendary cost.
What's the cost?
My friend, how important is being a hero to you?
I've wanted it more than anything in my life.
Are you willing to be a hero if you cannot remember being a hero? The cost of this is severe. If you are successful, you will have powers beyond that of some legends. But in exchange, once the power disappears, you will no longer be able to see the way that we do. Are you willing to escape this world back to your regular life with no idea of legends and willing to go back to a normal life with no memory of being a hero of this ancient world that slumbers underneath? Are you willing to give that up in exchange for one shot at true, true power and true glory? Are you willing to be a hero and give it up in the process?
I take a deep breath, turn to face Kyle, kind of look at him, and I have my hat, right?
Yeah, you have your hat. You probably have picked it up.
I take my hat off, signed by Aaron, and the Tyro.
I was gonna say Smasher signed it first.
Smasher and Aaron, yes. I kind of put it in Kyle's hands, and I kind of look at him in the eye, and I go, you know I'm not good in a lot of ways, but it's been nice. It's been nice going on an adventure with you. So, something to remember me by. Because I probably won't remember you.
Dang.
Kyle just, like, holds his hand, like, up and, like, push it, like, as if, like, push the hat, like, back to Ralph. And just, like, shakes his head.
At this point, like, there are tears in my eyes, and I, like, kind of force it into his chest. I'm like, no, take it. Just take it. Okay?
Kyle is just pointing to the signatures. And Kyle just goes, "You're gonna want to keep this. You like this hat too much."
But I don't know. I don't know what to.
I mean, you could keep the hat. Arceus, you know, maybe there's some Arceus can manipulate memory, so you just bought it at a store or something. But
I guess I'll take. Oh, fine. You're always right. You always were right. Put the hat back on.
Kyle just, like, gives a smirk and just nods.
And then I give Kyle a hug. I have to.
Kyle's, like, very, like, just freezes up for a second and then just, like, you know, just returns and just, kind of just shrugs and just, like, all right, fine, I'll give you this one.
I know I'm the emotional one. I'm a dork, I know, but I have to. So I pull away, go turn back to Arceus, kind of composing myself, and I say, yep. I'm willing to do that. Make it happen.
Very well.
And you see Arceus, its eyes, I think it's got red eyes, right? Its red eyes, like, glint. And then you just see a flash of light. And what I am going to say happens, purely for effect. Let me just confirm that this is the case. That's the case. I need to confirm something. You see the flash of light as the world starts to envelop itself in light. I don't know. I'm just describing light at this point.
Yes. How does one describe light?
Woo, big, flashy, whoosh, whoosh, whoosh. And you feel yourself change. You feel more powerful. You feel like things are even bigger and better. You feel stronger. And I am going to have you do something I have not done at all in this show.
Okay.
And probably never will.
I was going to say, you're about to give him a crazy cheat code.
Ultimate power.
I am going to need you to change two things.
Okay.
Number one, I need you to change your Pokemon from Machop to Machamp.
Oh my gosh.
Okay, fine.
Okay, and then?
But I'm level 19 and I'm still a Trico.
And?
And then I need you to change any move, your choice. It's going to revert back.
Okay.
Oh, perfect. I need you to change any move to the move Cross Chop.
So Lyra is turning into Cross Chop.
Cross Chop is with the space.
Yeah. Oh, that's a lot of damage.
And if you read the effect, it's so perfect.
Ah, its crits are 19 or 20. Okay. Excellent.
So you are now, for a brief moment, a Machamp. And this is purely for logistical. We're not going to actually change the levels and stuff like that. Otherwise, I'd be boosting to level 100 and maxing out your attack. Forget the rules. You're broken. But logically right now, you are the the most powerful version of your kind, IV-trained, EV-trained, and with the most powerful fighting-type move a Machamp can learn.
Amazing.
And,
if not the most powerful, the most Ralph.
Yes.
Yeah.
Kyle, I need you to check your bag. As you check your bag, I mean, not like legitimately, just like...
I was scrolling down the sheet. Yeah. I looked at the top right. I was like, you haven't popped into the Google sheet. What happened? This is the stealthiest move he's ever made.
You search into your bag, and you see your deck of cards that was given to you so long ago mm-hmm. start to, like, flicker, as if, like, emphasizing a particular card.
Okay. You know, if the deck is gonna... A good magician always forces you to take the card that they want you to take. This deck has pulled a pretty good force here. It's pretty blatant. It's pretty easy to read, but it's there. If I just say I'm not gonna look at the card, what are you gonna do?
Yeah, fair point.
All right.
So what you pull out of the deck is a card. So the tarot deck thing that we've established here is frankly not really established. It's kind of just a thing that I thought would be interesting, and whenever you used it, I would be like, ooh, let's find out what it does.
Although we didn't get into a situation where I felt compelled to use it.
Correct. In this situation, I'm forcing it. So what happens, it's a card. And as you pull out this card, it's instantly telling you, give this to Ralph.
Okay. Kyle's gonna
get
Ralph's attention, like throw the card over.
You toss it over like a card throwing style. Ralph, you catch it in the air with one of your four hands, which is very exciting to say, probably.
Wow!
And as you look at this card, what it effectively is just like an extra power boost. What it is for your case is, at any one instance, which I'm going to heavily imply is the next one, you will automatically roll a 19.
Whoa!
Okay, yep, there it goes. There it goes.
This is awesome!
I was planning this in case that wouldn't happen, because I wanted...
Oh, but you still give it to him anyway. Give me the card back. He got his 19.
But I was planning this as the very last situation in case you never got it. Yep. Here you go. Here's a 19. Arceus just like looks back at you.
Now, go save the world.
And Flash appears, and we jump back into the battle. Ralph, you have just finished. The bottle has just disappeared. Kyle, you have just let go of the button.
Yeah.
Celebi has popped in, and Celebi immediately pops out. You both know why, but for everybody else that saw Celebi for that instance has no idea what's going on. Kyle, you turn around. Manaphy, behind your bag, looks up, very confused, as Ralph has gotten not only taller, but also has two extra arms, and also like a greenish color that was not the color that Machop is.
Kyle's just gonna pat Manaphy's head as don't worry, I'll explain later.
Ralph, you are here. Darkrai looks very confused. Spiritomb panicking.
No. What's going on?
Darkrai just, so are you here to defeat me?
I look up at him and I go, you bet your bottom dollar.
There is one move used by each side. Darkrai goes for what's the most powerful move Darkrai can make? Darkrai.
Probably Dark Void, right?
I'm thinking damaging move. Where are you?
Well, a combination of like Dark Void and
Foul Play. That's probably it.
Foul Play. Base power wave. Foul Play would destroy Ralph.
Is Manaphy watching this go down?
Probably. Yeah.
Okay. Right before I make my move, I kind of look over at Manaphy, like wink at him, and go like, it's been nice being your uncle, kid. And then go for it.
I presume you go for cross chop because I gifted it to you and kind of forced you to do it.
Of course.
You rush up all four arms. Normally cross chop is like one arm slice, two arm slice. You got four arms, man. So this is just... as Darkrai goes for a foul play, which is basically its own version of like, I'm going to punch you so hard, we're going to see what happens.
Right.
Fists collide. You see the classic anime moment. It's like Dragon Ball, where like sparks are popping out. Everybody's going backwards. The castle is breaking apart. Spiritomb panics so much, the electrical balls that are holding all of the legendaries drops as well. The legends fall to the ground, somewhat hurt. Keldeo, now no longer dealing with that, starts taking care of Spiritomb, charging at it and just, like throwing the rock up a cliff or something. I don't know. Just rushing for the rock. Spiritomb running away. Kyle, you watch and see.
At this point, Kyle is sitting on the ground with like the bag in his lap, like with Manaphy there, just like sitting back and like watching the show. This is what Kyle's doing.
you see this flash go, and everything just boom explodes in the fiery, dirt full, dusty collision of no other, as both of these Pokemon are not only fighting their hardest, but they are the most powerful versions of their kind. You know, that creme de la creme, as they are just blasting each other out, cross chop after cross chop going in, all of them automatic critical hits, because we deal with critical hits these ways. It's a nat 19, ladies and gentlemen, and we're going all the way.
Is it a nat 19 or is it an artificial 19?
It is a natural 19. This is okay. Naturally artificially born. I can't believe it's not 19.
I can't believe it's not 19.
It's exactly like that. Everybody blast together. Both Pokemon fade back out, looking severely hurt. Darkrai falls to the ground officially, and for the first time in this campaign, technically, truly defeated, as a legendary Pokemon has been beaten by a technical non-legendary Pokemon. Darkrai falls to the ground, looks back and says,
"Well, that is this journey complete. Perhaps next time I shall come back as a better Pokemon. Or maybe not. Who knows?"
Dark Void envelops Darkrai as it basically flops into that little void and disappears. Spiritomb at this point is now a rock, as Keldeo is just basically yelling at this rock at this point and like throwing it on the ground. And that's for Turagian, and that's for Cabellion. And then, Ralph, you're victorious. You have by yourself defeated a legendary Pokemon. And not defeated as in, oh, I give up, you've shown your worth. This is, you've defeated. It's game, set, match. And then you feel yourself getting weaker. You feel yourself returning back from a Machamp to a Machop. I'm going to have you change your Pokemon name back to a Machop.
Oh, you thought you got the permanent buff. Get out of here.
I know it wasn't permanent.
I'm going to need you to change Cross Chop back to Leer. Okay. And that was the only thing I did. That changes back.
So you made him change the sheet, only to never use the sheet and change it back.
Yeah, it dawned on me. Like I thought it would be good for comedic, or not comedic, for like a dramatic effect.
Well, I mean, you made him change the sheet. I was fully expecting an actual battle here.
Yeah.
You know? All right, let's keep going.
You change back to Machop. You feel yourself like disrupted, like you're not supposed to be here, because you're not. You're being associated with a legendary Pokemon. There's a bunch of them here. You don't know legendaries exist, do you? Wait, was that Articuno just a dream? No, that can't be right. But I swear, maybe it was just like a Corviknight or like a blue Pidgey or something. I don't know.
Just a cloud.
Maybe it was just a cloud. Celebi flashes in, just like, well, it's time. Keldeo looks at you guys, just nods at this point, as the other legendaries are just like, wait. Who are you guys?
Kyle just like gives them all a wave and like gives Keldeo like a nod of approval, just like, yep.
Keldeo goes
like, as the last of like Ralph's like remembrance of, you know, that he is a recruit of the Lost, he just kind of goes like, they'll tell you all about me.
And Keldeo, as you guys disappear and celebrate, brings you back. Keldeo, you can hear Keldeo, let me tell you the tale of Ralph and Kyle, the heroes that helped me become a legend. And that is the end of Arc 4.
Oh boy. There it is.
Here's the epilogue. We're going to do this real quick because it's almost dawned on me that we forgot about a small segment of thing. So we're going to do this real quick. You flash forward. You're tumbling through time and everything like that. Kyle, you open your eyes. You are currently in the backyard of Sindorin the Wigglytuff's house.
Okay. So your Celebi bag did keep its promise and put us right back where it left me. Perfect.
You hear Sindorin like yelling, like, "Hey, it's been a longer than a couple of minutes. Did you go out for shopping or something?" You turn around, expecting to hear a quip from Ralph. Ralph is not there. Manaphy is in your bag, and your bag now consists nothing but a fiery drum.
Only the fiery drum.
And whatever you get rid of all of your legendary items and replace it with a fire drum.
Okay, yeah. Do I still have the tarot deck or?
Yes, you have the tarot deck as well.
Oh, sweet. Okay, one fiery drum.
So you have the fiery drum. You look around looking for Ralph to make a quip, and Ralph is not there. You have clear memories of Ralph. You know exactly what happened.
Oh, yeah.
That annoying moment when he like took the stuff from the house, the odd things that he said all the time, the feeling you had when you were third wheeling on his relationship with Snow. But you have full memories of this. But you also know
You're not supposed to.
Well, Kyle knows that he remembers Ralph as a recruit and like all this stuff, but Kyle also knows that Ralph doesn't know any of this.
You have two distinct moments of like your real life relationship with Ralph and your relationship with Ralph. Your relationship with Ralph is all the Recruits of the Lost stuff. Your real life relationship with Ralph is he's been in your class for a while, and that's it. You've talked to
him. Oh, okay. So it's almost like there's two distinct Ralphs I know.
Yeah, you know that they're the same, but like everybody else, you feel confident. Everybody else knows Ralph as that kid in your class.
Yeah.
And you know Ralph as that hero of the Recruits of the Lost as well.
Okay.
Manaphy knows this as well, but Manaphy doesn't feel like talking about this. That is your situation, as I presume you walk back into Wigglytuff's house to be like, yeah, let's prepare.
Yeah. Wigglytuff does not look surprised that it's just me, right?
Wigglytuff does not look surprised that it's just you.
Okay. Interesting. Kyle is just kind of like, quickly like, shake his head, collect his thoughts, and then walk back in and get ready for the adventure that he's about to set out on.
Ralph, you open your eyes. And it's just another day. It's summer vacation. You open your eyes. What's your plan today? Video games? Hanging out with your mom?
I'm gonna have some breakfast with my mom. What a crazy dream I just had. Ugh.
Right. As you go down that dream, just like most dreams, fades away until all you have is this vague inkling that you should probably talk to that kid Kyle in your class more often. And that is the end of Arc 4. Thanks for listening to the summary episode. The music throughout this episode was created either by Glitchex City, Tabletop Audio, or myself. You can find links to Glitchex City and Tabletop Audio in the description of the episode. While you're down there, follow the podcast and myself on Twitter and join our Discord. We're building an amazing community that's constantly growing, and you can meet a bunch of awesome people, including the members of the show. You can check out our website at www.notascratchcast.com, which contains our merch page, art page, and some extra items that you'll really enjoy if you want to be more enveloped in the Alcast region. Our biggest and most rewarding link, however, is our Patreon, which contains a plethora of benefits that you can take full advantage of. For as little as $1 a month, you have the power to grow Not a Scratch to higher and higher levels. There are a number of rewards for joining our Patreon at different tiers, including early access to episodes, special series, extra content, and more. If you're financially able and willing, we'd be extremely thankful for any support. Thank you again for checking out the summary episode. I've been your PM, DM, GM, and Andrew himself. Until next time, take care.